Thank you, worship team. I'm really excited that we're studying the spiritual gifts, but I think just like that song just described, it's even more important that we know the gift giver. So I think that's the most important thing for us to remember tonight. Well, hello, family. I am excited to be here. I thank Pastor Ronnie for asking me to do this. It is truly an honor to serve alongside him. And God has a way of pairing giftings very nicely. And we work great together because of that. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time together, God. I pray that we will take the words from your word, and we will study them this evening, God, that we'll study the gifts that you have so graciously and generously given to us, God, for many purposes, but primarily for your kingdom and to see your kingdom advanced. So, God, be with us tonight as we study. Use us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Once upon a time, there was a little girl. She liked to play school. She would line up her stuffed animals and her little sister, and she would play school. But it really wasn't so much about the lessons, per se. It was more about the daily schedule, what time we had recess, what time we had lunch. It was about everybody having their spot, knowing their assignments. And then one day, this girl, she went to the playground at real school. And she found herself playing with other kids, describing the rules, dividing people up into teams, making sure everything was flowing smoothly and everyone was getting along. Then when she went to high school, and the teacher would give her an assignment with a long deadline, she would find herself making intermittent deadlines, finding out what supplies she needed for the project, and making sure that she had certain things done along the way so that she wasn't in a panic at the last minute. That little girl was me. And that's just a little part of my story. You'll hear a tiny bit more later on. But it's who God created me to be. Nobody taught me to do those things. God made me to be and think administratively. Now, please understand, this isn't my gift. It's His gift that He's letting me use while I'm here on earth, to be responsible for it and to manage it well so that He can be glorified and His kingdom can be advanced. That's what all the gifts are for, not just this one. The Greek word charismata can be translated literally as the gifts and callings of God. 1 Corinthians 12 describes many spiritual gifts to the believers, and this helps us function completely as the body of Christ. Examples are the human body. Pastor Ronnie did a great job on Sunday of describing different gifts and how they can be associated with a certain part of the physical body, like hands and feet and such. Each believer is given a spiritual enablement and capacity for service. And all of these gifts are honorable. There are not any gifts that are better than the others. They're all honorable because they're bestowed by the Spirit and energized and fueled through our consistent obedience and walk with God. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has placed these in the church. First, apostles, second, prophets, next, teachers, next, miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing, and various kinds of languages." In the Christian Standard Version, this gift is translated as managing. The NIV translates it as guidance. The King James Version translates it as governments. And the English Standard Version translates it as administrating. This Greek word for this spiritual gift in this particular passage is kubernesis. The literal meaning of this word is to steer or to govern like the captain of a ship. In Revelation 18:17, this same word is translated shipmaster. And in Acts 27:11, it's translated captain and owner of the ship. This particular gift of the Holy Spirit enables someone to organize, direct, and implement plans to carry out a common goal or vision. Chuck Swindoll says, administrators calmly guide through dangerous seas, undeterred by thrashing winds above and ominous rocks below. They have the vision to see the goal and the skill to guide people to it. Several online spiritual gift testings estimate that about 10% of people have the gift of administration. People from this gift are typically focused, goal-oriented, and highly motivated. They work from their ability to be able to see the big picture, yet they also have the unique ability to understand the small details that go into that big picture. This gift is closely related to the gift of leadership, and it is useful in many, many acts of life: the church, your home, and your profession. Please keep in mind, not just tonight, but as we look at all the gifts, spiritual gifts are not the same as talents or strengths, and they're not the same as personality types. We are uniquely created as complex beings, having spiritual gifts, natural talents and strengths, and different personality types. You can do a spiritual gifts assessment to figure out what your spiritual gifts might be. You can do a strengths assessment like Strength Finders to find out what your strengths are. You can do a personality assessment like a DISC profile or a Myers-Briggs assessment to find out what your personality might be like. The gift of administration may play out slightly differently in different people because of their natural strengths and talents and their personalities. You are not just like anyone else. God created you very specially and very uniquely. This may be one of your gifts if any of these things might be true about you. If there's no clear leader, do you find people turning to you for advice with decisions? Or do you find yourself stepping in to help lead? Or when you see poor organization, planning, or management, does it drive you absolutely crazy? Number three, do you get excited about determining how a project can be carried out? Number four, do keeping systems and processes running smoothly come naturally for you? Do you like working with graphs, organizational charts, long-term planning, proper computer software applications, and creating agendas for meetings? Are you a logical thinker and good with project or event logistics? If any of these sound like you, you might have the gift of administration. A biblical example of someone with this gift is Joseph. His brothers sold him as a slave and brought back his wonderful coat of many colors that his father had given him, and it had animal's blood on it. His father thought that he'd been killed by a wild animal, but really his brothers had sold him into slavery. Even though his brothers meant harm for him, God was working on his behalf using his gift of administration. Genesis 39:4-6 says, Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all he owned under his authority. From the time that he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing was on all he owned in his house and his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority, and he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Joseph ran into some trouble while he was at Potiphar's house with Potiphar's wife. She accused him falsely of making a pass at her, and he got thrown into jail. However, even in jail, God was still utilizing his gift of administration. Genesis 39:22. The warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything done there. Joseph ends up in jail with some of the king's servants, and through a series of dreams and interpretations, Joseph ends up working for Pharaoh, who was the top of the line, managing all the resources of the land during a situation of 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. And no matter his circumstances, God always managed to use this gift he had given Joseph. Tonight we're going to go through some characteristics of people with this gift and a few dangers along the way for people who have this gift as well. The first one is organization. People with this gift tend to be naturally organized with information, people, money, events. It doesn't mean, though, that they always have a clean desk. I can vouch for that, and anyone who's ever been in my office can vouch for that. However, I have very neat piles, and I know what's in them, okay? This gift allows a person to organize people and resources for greater efficiency, effectiveness, and success. Administrators are able to inventory and assess resources and apply those resources where they will do the greatest amount of good. They are also aware of how the parts of a group or an organization work together to achieve a common goal and put a vision into action. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Everything must be done decently and in order. Part of my Bible study in January has involved going back and reading the creation story. And I was telling Pastor Ronnie about this one day in his office. This had never hit me before, and I've read that story many, many times. But in God's amazing creativity, there was this nice, neat order. Certain things were done on certain days, and at the end of every day, he would say, "This is good." There was a pattern, and within that, there was an amazing creativity. But even God did things decently and in order, even in his wonderful creation. People with this gift are able to manage people. They understand the value of interpersonal relationships. They're able to manage projects, finances, and information. They may be able to prioritize tasks when others may struggle with prioritizing. Often, but not always, people who have this gift sometimes also have the gift of leadership. Sometimes these people can be seen as a how-to person because these people can explain step-by-step processes. These people like policies, rules, and structure. And let me just explain why people like me like policies. It's not to make other people follow rules. It has nothing to do with that. Policies are standing decisions that apply to recurring issues. If something tends to happen over and over and over, a person with administration says, "Well, why would you make 10 decisions when you can make one policy and it applies to all those things?" That's why we like policies. We also enjoy budgeting, bringing things to order through money management. A second characteristic is they can see the big picture while also understanding the details. Most people see themselves either as a big picture person or a detail-oriented person. For instance, visionaries can cast visions for the big picture, but sometimes they don't understand what details will go into making that vision a reality, or they may not have any idea how long it may actually take to accomplish a project. Other people can be so consumed with the details that they can't see the big picture. Have you ever heard they can't see the forest for the trees? That's those kinds of people. People with the gift of administration see the whole forest and all the different kinds of trees that make up the forest. Back to the Greek word kubernesis, to steer. People with this gift understand the whole ship. They understand the working parts of the ship, the people on the ship, what those people do to keep the ship moving. They see the whole and the pieces. They see the big picture and the small details. Because of this ability, administrators can keep in mind the needs of the entire team. Sometimes administrators can be seen in meetings as the one who brings up potential issues or problems with an idea. This is not to be negative. It's because of their ability to see both the big picture and the organizational details others may not be fully aware of. They also understand risk management and asset protection. Luke 14:28. For which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down to count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? This is what administrators do. Okay, number three. They understand how to get from point A to point B. People with this gift are problem solvers, and they like to back their way into solutions. For instance, if they want to run a computer report and they know these are the results they want to get from that computer report, they will then back into what data do we need to put into the system to be able to get that report out of the system. Another example of this would be change management. If we want to be here in 5 years, then a person with the gift of administration can see, well, what do we need to do in years 1, 2, 3, and 4 to get to that goal in the fifth year? All the while staying focused on the mission. They can experience frustration if they're not sure where point B is, okay? If a person with the gift of administration is not the leader, they will ask the leader questions about where is point B? Where are we going? I meet with Pastor Ronnie very regularly to ensure that I understand where point B is and I'm not leading the staff to point C, which is not where Pastor Ronnie's going. We have regular meetings to make sure he and I stay in sync. There's a book, it was primarily written for executive pastors, but it's very helpful for anyone who is not the leader but helps to administrate. It's called Leading from the Second Chair. Very good book if you're in one of those types of positions. Proverbs 29:18 says, without revelation, people run wild. Or King James Version, we're all very familiar with, where there's no vision, the people perish. These folks are also very aware of helping and hindering forces. And what I mean by that is helping forces would be like, oh, well, to accomplish that, this is a really good space for that, or there's a large potential for growth in this area, or we've got lots of willing volunteers to help with that project. They're also aware of possible hindering forces, like there's a lack of funds, I'm not sure we have the right leadership in place for that, or there's a poor space layout for that to be functional. That's something to keep in mind too. Okay, characteristic number four, they're willing to try new things to get the job done. They like new models for growth and effectiveness. They never want to be status quo. They strive for excellence in all things. These people understand that to remain static is to die. If a body lies still, atrophy occurs. Administrators get tired of doing the same things the same way just because we've always done them that way. We want proof of why we are doing what we do and how those activities are helping us achieve our goal. In the Old Testament, Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law, he understood administration. He was watching Moses and realized that Moses was wearing himself out. So he made a suggestion for improvement. Exodus 18:25. So Moses chose able men from all of Israel and made them leaders over the people as officials of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. As things grow, sometimes structures have to change. A New Testament example is found in the book of Acts, chapter 6. In those days, as the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to wait on tables. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry. This proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen and six other men. They had them stand before the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So preaching about God flourished, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Thus, the beginning of the deacon ministry. Characteristic number five. People with this gift value trust. A biblical example of this is Paul trusted Titus. They had started several churches together on the island of Crete, and Paul left him there as a trusted partner and co-worker to take care of some difficult situations that were occurring there. Titus 1:5 says, "The reason I left you in Crete was to set right what was left undone, and as I directed you, to appoint an elder in every town." Paul proceeds to give him qualifications for these elders. Paul is setting up the structural vision for the churches in Crete, and he's trusting Titus to set up this administrative structure so that the church will have an elder or an overseer or an administrator. The book, The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey, talks about how important trust is in an organization. Trust from the top for people to do their jobs, trust in others through delegation, trust in ourselves and the gifts God has given us that defeats the spirit of inadequacy, and trust in the value of our work, that our work has meaning and it has value and it's doing something to make a real difference, and trusting God through faith. Romans 12:6 through 8 says, "According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of faith. If service, service. If teaching and teaching. If exhorting and exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. Trust the power of God working in you." Okay, characteristic number six. Self-sacrificing service. Administrators continue to serve even when they sometimes don't get to see the fruit of their labor. Jesus provided the best example of servant leadership that I know of. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Sometimes they love and they serve at a distance, being a bit removed from frontline ministry. Many times what administrators do is behind the scenes, and they are completely okay with that. They might do things that other people would consider menial or overwhelming. They can be the ones who take minutes, track important records, research project costs, or even clean out closets. They can be self-sacrificing for the good of the organization or mission. They can have workaholic tendencies and will often give to others to the point of potential harm to themselves. We can sometimes have the Martha syndrome, being excessively busy. We need to recognize that we're not indispensable and other people can do the work. A skilled and experienced administrator will know what work he or she has to do and what can be delegated to someone else. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says, "Based on the gift they've received, everyone should use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, his speech should be like the oracles of God. If anyone serves, his service should be from the strength God provides, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever. Amen." People are always more important than tasks or projects. Important to remember. Seventh characteristic, courage. As Moses is preparing to pass the baton to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or afraid of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes before you. He will not leave you or forsake you." When we face tough decisions, when we're dealing with conflicts such as personnel issues, budgeting issues, plans that fail, or dreams that die, God's grace is where true courage is found. Matthew 10, 19 through 20 says, "But when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for you will be given what to say in that hour, because you are not speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you." Peter was someone who tried to make peace in the family, what administrators often do. And he was labeled a hypocrite and accused of compromising his ideals because he was trying to keep a badly divided Christian community together. He was attempting to maintain ties with the Gentile Christians while also being sensitive to the eating habits of the stricter Jewish community. Paul criticized him for this, but Peter realized that sometimes for the greater good of the organization, you have to find a way of balancing differences, and you have to have the courage to stand for that even when you're criticized. Number 8, administrators have the ability to reflect and face reality. People with this gift constantly assess and evaluate. While some in an organization can dream freely, the administrator is always aware of what worked, what didn't, and why. They tend to ask lots of questions. The answers to these questions, their attention to detail and excellence, and the products of their evaluations guide their decision making. I've been in situations where I feel like saying to others, "Hello, my name is Denise, and I am your reality check." These people are strategic thinkers. To an administrator, problems are opportunities in disguise. Administrators make decisions to capitalize on opportunities. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps." We should always seek the Lord through reading scripture and prayer when making decisions. One of the best biblical examples of the gift of administration is Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the court of the king of Persia. And just to see back on those 8 things we'd mentioned before and how they fit into Nehemiah's story, I'm just going to go through it very, very quickly. He was a cupbearer, which again is a court position in the king of Persia's court. When he heard about what had happened to the walls of Jerusalem, he mourned, he wept, he fasted, and he prayed, which demonstrated being self-sacrificing. He asked the king's permission to go and rebuild the wall. He valued the trust of the king. He was given letters from the king for protection, which demonstrates courage. He surveyed the damage of the wall. He could see the big picture and all of the details in that. He came up with a game plan for repair. He could see how to get from point A to point B. He found the financial resources to get the job done. He was willing to try some new things. He actually ordered people to forgive debts and he offered tax refunds. He found workers and gave them their assignments. He was organized. The wall was completed in an amazing 52 days. He was able to reflect on that and face the realities. He assigned gatekeepers, singers, and guards appointed to keep things going from that point forward. On Sunday, Pastor Ronnie described all the gifts as different parts of the body, and he described the gift of administration as the circulatory system. That was a great way to put that. The circulatory system is used to, it uses the systems of the heart, the blood, the veins, the arteries, and other smaller vessels to deliver oxygen and nutrients to every part of the body. Those with the gift of administration are part of the body to see the bigger vision, the Great Commission, our overall purpose and calling, and utilize systems to get those things accomplished. You know, in college, I studied to be a music teacher, and I have a degree in music education, and I was a high school choral director for many years as my first profession. However, God had other plans to use this gift of administration in me. All those times when I was a little girl playing school, I thought it was because maybe he wanted me to be a teacher. But really, he wanted me to be an administrator. So after having been a school teacher and having worked here in the worship staff, I went back to school and became a certified administrator after he called me to ministry. But honestly, it's not what I thought I would do, but it's what I was created to do. When you're doing what you were created to do, and you do it with excellence, it's like worship to God, and he's glorified in that. Tonight, as we close, I'd like to do a couple of things for ministry time. Some of you know you have this gift, and some of you know you have it, and you feel inadequate to properly utilize it. Some of you may feel like you're in a position at work or something where you can't fully utilize it. Some of you may have even been made fun of because of this gift. You may have been called nerdy, boring. Own it. I am a nerd and I'm happy to be one. But some of you may feel that way. And I want you to embrace what God's given you. It is a gift. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. So if anybody's ever made you feel like it was a curse of some sort, that needs to be broken off of you. So what I'd like to do is, if you're one of those people, you've got that gift and you'd love for somebody to pray for you, I'd love for you to come down right in front of these stairs. But then some of you feel like you're in a position of chaos. You wish you had more of the gift of administration in your life. You feel like things are spinning all the time and you can't make heads or tail of it. I'd like for you to come over to this part of the stairs, okay? So without prayer, just come on. I know you're used to somebody praying when you come forward, but if there's anybody who wants to be prayed for, I'd love for you to come on down. If you feel you have the gift and you'd love for somebody to pray for you, come to this side. And if you feel like, I don't know, things seem awfully chaotic, I wish I had more of that, then come to this side. And I'm going to come down to the floor because God wants us to stir up these gifts. He wants us to stir them up and utilize them to their fullest.